And this is broadcast number 644. It's April the 9th, 1984. This time last year, I was sharing information about Helene Von Dahm. She was in the White House, had an important position with Ronald Reagan, 8 years in Sacramento, and then with the transition team in Washington, D.C., and then went on to be ambassador of Vienna. She had resided for a while in Sweden and Germany. She married a GI and came to the United States in 1959. I mentioned last week how she went to Chicago to work for the American Medical Association. She was in Detroit a while in the AMA, and then went on to Sacramento, where William Clark was very considerate. He was in Army counterintelligence, and he helped set up the staff with Edwin Meese III, and Von Dahm was important to the staff of Ronald Reagan, and at the same time she was there, she was on the board of TCI, a computer organization that tied into Otto von Bolschwing and a Nazi network. Helene Von Dahm is a very important person. She is still our ambassador to Vienna. You see, with all the broadcasts I did, I wasn't able to stop her appointment, but at least it's interesting to detail these people because their lives do surface later and weave into current stories just as her relationship in the White House is coming to attention. And one paper in the East last week said that they were thinking of having a subpoena for her to come home and testify on the nature of appointments in the White House, how they got there, and appointments and jobs that were given to people who helped Edwin Meese, who were also working in the White House. Edwin Thomas was working as the deputy to Edwin Meese before he went to San Francisco to work for the General Services Administration, and was instrumental in helping Edwin and his family with the money towards their house purchases and so forth. They loaned, and the Thomases were the ones who loaned that controversial $15,000 to Mrs. Meese that went to Dr. Earl Bryan and a company called Biotech with its six subsidiaries. Now, for World Watchers this evening, I'm not going into those subsidiaries. I did two last week, one that Mrs. Meese had money in, the medical companies, one for pap smears and the other for interferon and cancer. I spent a whole week working very, very hard. This was probably one of the top weeks in terms of my investigation work. I worked around the clock and literally fried my brains, I think, and came out with so much important information that I'm ready to put it on the air in consecutive order or in any order that I feel is necessary at the time. But there's a couple of subjects, one in particular, I want to talk about this evening before we roll back to the Mises, the cancer connections, and so forth. But a year ago this evening, I had on broadcast number 592 some disastrous appointments of Ronald Reagan and also their links to the Vatican and to the connections of the mafia and the crime syndicate and the people that Reagan and Von Dahm put into office. This was 1 year before the sleazegate started coming apart, and the Democrats are going to use that as part of their campaign. The 55 or more jobs that were given by Ronald Reagan or were turned down or were kicked out that involved huge amounts of money, money scandals, anywhere from $200,000 to $32 or $23 million. And I'm putting the new ones into files, and we'll roll those along as fast as we can. But a year ago, I was calling to the attention to the scandal of Richard Allen, of Fred Fielding, of E. Pendleton James. And James was, of course, part of the Watergate group. He worked with Richard Nixon in the Watergate, and there's now a special prosecutor, and I'll do a lot more on him next week. It's a conflict of interest to have somebody defend the Watergate team and then try to prosecute Edwin Meese. That's like having Leon Jaworski working with Korea Gate, with the political assassins, the people who killed John Kennedy in Dallas, and then being on the Warren Commission and Korea Gate inquiry and so forth, and working with the Watergate team. He works with the people who should be exposed as their lawyer, as their friend, and it's a contradiction to think that he is going to prosecute them, and he never had, and neither will this particular case have a good prosecution. But again, it doesn't mean that Edwin Meese will pass the Senate judiciary with approval. It just means that he'll probably get a clean slate by the special prosecutor. I was talking about Mr. Lynn Nofziger, William Casey, John Lehman, James Watt, D. Lowell Jensen, the deputy Assistant Attorney General Raymond Donovan, Alexander Haig Jr., J. Peter Grace, and James Buckley. A year ago this evening, I was talking about the scandals of those particular people, and now this year we're heavy into the sleaze factor. As I say, they're going to use that, and it's a good word, sleazy. It means shoddy, and it means pretentious, and it means inferior, and also dangerous appointments. Now, we all lost a real friend by seeing Frank Church pass away. You can't begin to explain in 1 hour or in 10 minutes the work that he did or contributed to this country. He was an outstanding opponent to the war in Vietnam. He wasn't a Hubert Humphrey opponent who went along with Lyndon Johnson, and when it was over said, "I didn't like the war." Lyndon Johnson helped Senator Frank Church get his positions in the Senate, got him his seat on the Senate Rackets Committee. I don't know if that was a favor. And with John McClellan fighting the organized crime, and Lyndon Johnson helped him get some important positions in Congress. But he had the guts to go against Lyndon Johnson, who was influential in Congress, and he fought to cut off all money to the military in Vietnam, and it made a difference. And that's what we need today when you see the war stories that are out. He was a critic of the Central Intelligence Agency, and he began in 1975 in January investigating for the Senate all kinds of things that the CIA were doing. But the major thing he did was the mind control experiments and how they were altering people's minds and still do. The methods, the techniques, the doctors, why they do it, how they do it. The Church Committee and the Sam Ervin Committee on Mind Control is excellent. The Senator Church Committee is a valuable document. If these are out of print, someday I'm going to have copies made and sell them at cost for people so that they can own these Senate hearings if you can't get them. He sponsored the amendment, the Church-Cooper Amendment, to stop U.S. involvement in Vietnam. And right now, Ronald Reagan wants the war powers. He wants to change that so that he can go to war in any country he wants, and he will. He was the man who exposed the CIA plans to kill Fidel Castro and had hearings on it. He tried to curb nuclear arms race, which we need desperately. Somebody called a few minutes ago on the talk show and said, "I don't talk too much about nuclear arms." I suppose the reason I don't is that so many people worry about nuclear arms, and yet everything I'm listing up above and down below or thoughts I have about Frank Church are equally important. Every one of these things are things that we should be working on at the same time. He absolutely opposed the growth of presidential power in foreign affairs and did everything he could to stop it. He fought organized crime with John McClellan, the two of them. John isn't around now. Senator Frank Church isn't around fighting the crime syndicate. He gave that keynote address at the Democratic Convention in 1960. John Kennedy was nominated, and after the election lived 1,000 days. I took the children, and I mentioned that earlier before World Watchers began on the other part of the program, how we went and took my younger sons. They were old enough to go, and we went down to hear the keynote address, and Frank Church was there. We also took the kids up to see Marvin Gaye, and I'm going to discuss him, too. We saw him at Pleasanton. We took them to see the Beatles and Bob Dylan and Marvin Gaye and Procol Harum and a lot of the whole Monterey Pop, of course. I feel very close to some of these people in some way that passed away, such as Marvin Gaye and Frank Church, and I think we should take time, even though it is a busy day, a busy week, a busy month, and the news gushes out. There just isn't enough time to say what Frank Church did. He exposed the ITT and the Central Intelligence Agency and how they were funding covert money to overthrow and sabotage the election of President Salvador Allende. He defeated a friend of Senator Joe McCarthy, who McCarthy was from Wisconsin. He wanted to stack the Senate with his own cronies. But in his own state, in Idaho, he defeated a friend of Joe McCarthy's and took that Senate seat at age 32 and went on to the United States Senate. He exposed the Arab blacklist of Jewish people and pro-Israeli businesses and tried to show how our major corporations would work with the Arabs where these names were on the list and you weren't supposed to buy or deal with them and the Arabs wouldn't buy from them. If you dealt with the Jews, he exposed that. He was a strong man for morality and government. Many of you have read maybe articles about him since he passed away, and some of you haven't, depending what you read or if you read. But used the word morality in government, and he worked hard for civil rights. He helped Lyndon Johnson pass the Civil Rights Bill, the Aid to the Aging, and environmental legislation. What more could he do? He tried to stop the weapons. He tried to stop the power of the president. He showed how the major corporations were working with the intelligence community to kill foreign leaders, to overthrow people like Salvador Allende or kill Fidel Castro. There were several quotations of his in the paper, I guess, that pretty well sum it up. He said, "I'm pretty relaxed about some things, but when it comes to the growing insidious danger to freedom in this country, when it comes to Big Brother government prying into every facet of our lives, I'm not relaxed about that. I'm alarmed." That was in 1975. And in 1971, he said in a speech at LaSalle College, "The credibility of the government, including the presidency itself, has been grievously impaired. An awareness has developed, never known to my generation, that the United States government has forfeited its claim to a morality above that of any other government. We no longer can claim that we are so great or pure." And the interesting thing is how strong certain people from the Vatican, Knights of Malta, carrying on a religious fervor, and certain religious zealots of other religions combined with Adolf Hitler's top Nazis and took everything that we thought America was about. And that's why I go so much into Henry Kissinger and Fritz Kramer or Carl Weidenbach, who's known as Charles Willoughby, because our country changed. It changed its fiber. There's rashes of suicides in Texas and Westchester, two children at Beverly High, and the psychologists get on the bandwagon. Why are they dying? They are dying because their parents are dead. They're orphans. The parents are dead and the country is dead and the children are dying. And unless you wake up, they're not going to wake up. It's just perfectly obvious that in these wealthy areas with a bunch of nudniks that they call their parents, they wonder how they came from them, with nothing to live for, these young people are going through a contagious episode that should make somebody get aware and look at the society, which they don't. And it's a terrible tragedy. But Frank Church covered all the bases, the crime syndicate, the civil rights, the rights of the blacks. He was one of the first people that passed the laws where the blacks didn't have to sit any longer in the back of the bus. He literally was a giant in what he did, and he fought it up to the end. And, of course, he died young of cancer. Was it CIA cancer? I don't know. He had trouble with a prostate and other troubles. He was at Stanford when he was younger. He did have troubles when he was early in his life. And then he said he came so close to death that he knew what life was about, and he was grateful for it. So maybe this what came back. He had extensive radiation a long time ago, but he was a brave man. Now, the Senate Select Committee to study governmental operations with respect to intelligence has sections in there that pertain to what happened to somebody like Larry Flynt when he wants to write about the Korean Airlines and who killed John Kennedy or the Nazi connections. Chairman Frank Church was the head of that committee. Interestingly enough, the vice chairman was Senator John Tower of the intelligence community, and subcommittee was Senator Gary Hart. What has he done all these years? Well, his buddy here was dying of cancer, the pancreas, and Senator Barry Goldwater and Senator Mathias. In this book, there are many sections on the ways to do mind control, starting with the early Project Chatter, the Project Bluebird, Artichoke, MK Naomi, MK Ultra, the LSD administration, and murders. Page 393 of the book has a section in quotes. It says this: the CIA used six specific products that have been developed and are available for operation use. That doesn't mean they test it. They're ready now. This was a report of Richard Helms in 1963, I think December, right after Kennedy was killed. It said three of them are discrediting and disabling materials which can be administered unwittingly and permit the exercise of a measure of control over the action of the subject. You give these elements, they have six, well, they literally have 100 chemicals, but they had six that they liked, that they developed, that were ready then for operation. They were to discredit and disable people, and that you administered it in a way that they never tasted it or knew. And with that administration, you could use control over the actions of those subjects. That's how you get Larry Flynt to court with a diaper of American flag. And from then on, nobody's interested in what he does. Well, Frank Church is gone, and if you don't miss him yet, you'll miss him soon. I just took a few articles from the morning newspaper, not way back in those years, but just today's paper. CIA-backed guerrillas mount offensive. They're going into a country that got rid of dictatorship, the Somoza family, and the CIA is over there in Nicaragua doing what they have to do. The CIA is in Honduras. Another story from the Chicago Tribune on the CIA in Honduras getting ready to go into Nicaragua. Rebels escalate Nicaraguan war and pressure builds with the harbor, and the CIA has the ports mined, Nicaraguan ports mined by the CIA. 12 peasants murdered, found in a well in El Salvador. Lebanese village bombed by the Israelis. Plans reported for the United States forces in Latin America, sending our troops, mining the water, bombing the native populations, throwing people down the wells. It is horrendous, and it's escalated so that every day it is so disgusting. And I don't know where this is going to end or how long it'll go on. Another gentleman that died this week, retired Army Lieutenant General Pierce, William R. Pierce. He was a fellow who headed the Army investigation of the My Lai massacre. He's 69 years old. And he came to a conference last year at the University of Southern California called Vietnam Reconsidered. And he expressed, this is a quote from the newspaper, displeasure with the relatively light punishment allotted. I don't think we as a nation and I as an individual feel that that is justice, that the women and children in the My Lai massacre were between 175 to 400 South Vietnamese village people that were slaughtered. And he said the incident of not giving a fair punishment to the people who did it, he said it hurts this country and doesn't do us a favor. It's a terrible thing, and it is hardly justice. He had a heart attack in San Francisco, but the surgery was attempted and wasn't successful. And just 1 minute on Marvin Gaye, because many of you know how close I am to the musicians and feel towards them. There are many articles about him. He was shot by his father, so you can say to me, well, that's no conspiracy because his father shot him. They asked his father, did you love him? And he said, well, I liked him. I didn't dislike him. That was the answer. But Marvin Gaye said 4 days before the father shot him that somebody was going to kill him. He was suspicious, and he knew that he was going to be killed. He was followed and kept inside of a gate or guard at guards, and he had the feeling that somebody was after him that wanted to kill him. The best article I've seen so far about Gaye came from the LA Times, Robert Hilburn, because it has in essence what Gaye was about. It said Gaye's important work was rooted in the late 1960s. He was a pop star. He went from the early blues and up through the various stages to the very popular music that is out now. Rock, I don't particularly like what is now. It seems too commercial, but he won a Grammy last year and was very successful. But they compared him to Carole King and some of the people, the fine people during that period of the late 60s. And one of the popular songs, What's Going On, and they have a quotation here, Mother, Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, Brother, there's too many of you dying. What's going on? Tell me what's going on. I remember the songs. As I say, we went up there to Pleasanton to hear him. Now, Marvin Gaye was doing well. He was making money, but money wasn't the important thing in the 60s. It came in not like it does today, but he was very valuable to the musical field. And they described, and other articles did, that he was in love with a young woman, and she fell, collapsed on the stage, Tammy Terrell, and she collapsed in his arms in 1967. And in 1970, she died of a brain tumor. That was 3 years later, and that affected his whole life. So he went to Europe and stayed there, but he was doing very well until acid came out, until that LSD and the CIA acid came out. And as a matter of fact, that was one of the concerts where they were throwing it all around and wanting people to take it in the audience. And people did, some of them did take it and were sick and get their stomachs blown or their mind blown. And he was very much a part of the changing scene of America. And his tragedies began. The woman he was in love with gets a brain tumor. It's just like Bob Marley, who gets shot, and then you take him to the hospital for the shot, and then he dies of a brain tumor. I'm very suspicious, I say it over and over again, of the way some of these people die. It was her cancer that changed his entire career, and took him out of the limelight. And then when he's on the eve of a success and has a big hit, then he shot and died. I don't know what the circumstances or who knew the father or what really happened, but he felt he was going to die, and he was not separate from Jim Croce or Otis Redding and the Giants, Janis Joplin, and there's so many of them, Jimi Hendrix and the whole gang. He was of that ilk and in that time period and had that spirit. What's going on? There's too many people dying, and he knew something was happening besides his friend having the brain tumor, and she was very young, and that changed his whole life. He knew it was happening, and there were a lot of deaths going on, and they still go on. Now, there was an article in the LA Times that made me furious. I called the publisher today, but he didn't call back, so I'll write him a letter. Times is to offer Henry Kissinger articles. Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger will write in-depth articles on international political affairs for the Los Angeles Times and the Washington Post. It was announced Monday. Now, this is the way they build him up. Kissinger, a Nobel Peace Prize winner, was consultant in the administration of John Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, Secretary of State under Nixon and Gerald Ford. He was chaired the President's National Bipartisan Commission on Central America. Los Angeles Times publisher Tom Johnson noted he is one of the most important leaders in U.S. diplomatic history. We feel his unique insights into major news events and knowledge of world leaders will make a major contribution to increased understanding of international affairs. Now, I remember when Mr. Murphy, who was one of the high officials of the CIA and was the president, Bob Murphy of UCLA, went over to Chandler's in the Los Angeles Times, and I wondered, well, how far can the establishment go in directing newspapers? But the media now is getting ready for that Anschluss. They're going to build up Kissinger to be president of the United States. If you don't like what I'm saying, and I should say week after week, because that's what I said about Reagan, and nobody believed me. This really made me sad. I was tired when I read it, but I really was sad. How many countries he's decimated, how many people's lives he's ruined, how much narcotics has come into this country. What do they think they're doing to bring him in? And I will write a letter to the editor of the Los Angeles Times and see if they'll publish it and say, before you hire Kissinger to write your articles, why don't you bring out his Fritz Kramer and have him photographed side by side, and let's see who the man is behind Henry Kissinger. This is a terrible tragedy, how they take a world that is so splattered in Asia, Southeast Asia, Central America, South America, Middle East, and the man who engineered it. And then the excuse is that he was an advisor to Kennedy. He betrayed Kennedy. He was behind his back in the State Department. He was waiting to get in. Kennedy kicked him out. He wasn't an advisor to John Kennedy at all. He was to all those other lousy creeps. But Henry Kissinger is a piece of junk. He's a killer. He's a drug trafficker. And the major newspapers, the Washington Post and the L.A. Times, which was the Dallas Times Herald, are going to have articles by Kissinger. It's really an outrage that he isn't accountable for what he's done and the rumors, even the rumors of his personal life. But forget that. This is so disgusting. I can't believe it. For that reason, I'm going to talk about one of the mentors behind Reverend Moon and Henry Kissinger, that Sasakawa, in a few minutes, because of the importance of Henry Kissinger and Kramer. There was another article from Medford, Massachusetts, that Kissinger canceled his appearance. There he was supposed to talk at the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. And the people there are getting smart. There was a demonstration in Florida he didn't go to. There were demonstrations in Texas, although he appeared, and there were people demonstrating in San Jose. I didn't see anything about that in the paper. But they had leaflets, and these are law students now. This isn't New Solidarity or Labor Party anymore. These are people who had scheduled a speech by Henry Kissinger along with former Secretary of State Dean Rusk and other undersecretaries. And Henry Kissinger didn't come because they are calling him killing Kissinger, killer Kissinger, and talking about the coalition and his policies down in Central America. And so he canceled the appearance, thank goodness. A few of you don't like me to mention the newspaper New Solidarity because it's controversial. And I did promise that in a week or two I would do maybe a half-hour broadcast on it, the good, the bad, and otherwise. But they've been running a story, no matter what you think of them, they've been running stories on the Kissinger network behind the Meesgate assault on Reagan. There's no other newspaper that gets the connection of how Henry Kissinger is getting his own boys in the White House, how the president wants to appease Henry Kissinger. I use another word, that he was indebted to Henry Kissinger for Vicky Morgan's skull, but they have an article on how Kissinger is working his way into the White House, so that just as he had Alexander Haig running it when Watergate came down, his little protege, along with Fritz Kramer, they had their people in place. This article is about how the Debategate will come out and other stories, and William Sapphire and the columnist going behind the Sleazegate and pushing Ed Meese out because he is in there close to Ronald Reagan and would be close in the Justice Department, and they want to get him, Reagan, separated from his friends so that the Kissinger buddies can come over with their big appetite to control everything in the White House. I did send a letter to Peter Rodino in the House Judiciary Committee investigating Nazis and the General Accounting Office and William French Smith and Leon Panetta, I mentioned that last week, to investigate Fritz Gustav Anton Kramer, the man behind Henry Kissinger. And I sent a letter with about six copied pages of supporting information of Fritz Kramer, his American military record, and the Fritz Kramer that Adolf Hitler had, and the picture of the two of them. And the reason why I wanted the American Fritz Kramer to say under oath that he was not Adolf Hitler's Fritz Kramer. And also, I sent them I sent a lot of information. I sent them photographs and army records of each of them being in the same location, and said, you owe this to me and us, and carried that through this last week. Now I have to write to the Washington Post and LA Times, and you can too if you don't like these appointments. People magazine has a story this week, again, that goes into Henry Kissinger and Kramer and that sleazy gang. People magazine has a story about John DeLorean's money. It says there may be as much as $8.5 million that he failed to keep in his automobile company that he diverted into private ventures. And the money, the papers on this say that the records were removed from his home in Bedminster, New Jersey, that there were 63 file boxes and 9 filing cabinets, September 1983, that were taken. And as far as they can see now, the $8.5 million of the funds was deposited with a Swiss attorney named Jacques Wittmer, W-I-T-T-M-E-R. And then it goes on to say the investigation into this matter will prove an even greater embarrassment to him than the drug trial, when you know where the money went to Switzerland. If you remember the broadcast, some of you don't remember, and some of you do, and some never heard it. The broadcast I did not too long ago, August this of 1983, that's about 6 or so months ago. It was about Henry Kissinger and Klaus Barbie and cocaine down in Bolivia, and I said that John DeLorean was arrested November 1982. I had a chart that accompanied that tape, that Klaus Barbie was arrested in January of 1983, 2 months later, that Joseph Mengele's attorney was meeting in the Zurich banks in Switzerland to put DeLorean's $20 million in Barbie's numbered account. Now, the $7.5 million was allegedly from the Utah company that DeLorean had it in. And what I said was that Klaus Barbie wanted a down payment for the cocaine that he was supposed to buy from Klaus Barbie. And so as a show of good faith, the money was put into a Swiss account belonging to the two top, well, Martin Bormann is the top war criminal, but Joseph Mengele and Klaus Barbie are second and third, and maybe Walter Rauf. It's a toss-up. But I said that I was told that the cocaine for John DeLorean came from Klaus Barbie's Bolivia cocaine, and that before they got that $60 million hit of the heroin that would really put the cars rolling again, he had to get a deposit quick into a Swiss bank. Now, I have the name of one banker, which I don't put on the air, Mengele's attorney, but which I've sent to Detroit to the FBI and for a man in Florida to a lawsuit. And I worked, goodness knows what behind the wings does, what effect it has to call these people, because I detailed and wrote to them all the sources of information that the money went to the Swiss banks, and that would be a bigger story. That would be a big story. Just having cocaine isn't a big story. So it's interesting now that the paper today and the investigators are saying this is going to be a bigger story than the buying of the cocaine bust, and that it involves a Swiss bank. I'll wait to see where it goes from there, but you can say You heard it first on Kazoo, K-A-Z-U, FM in Pacific Grove, California. And with that, we'll take a one-minute break and then come back and do Mr. Sasakawa, one of the most interesting characters around. I mentioned him before last week and his interest in cancer and medical research, and I thought maybe I'd do just 1/2 hour on Sasakawa because he's important to all the other stories that I'll be covering. Now, I do take a little time here to ask you if you've sent in money to Kazoo. Did you see the article in the newspaper this week? It was yesterday's paper, the Monterey Herald. It had 5 stations on the peninsula that are listener-sponsored. And they mentioned Kazoo. There's a large picture of Arden, one of the disc jockeys here in the room here where we do our work. And it was a lovely article about volunteer radio. And it makes so much sense. It listed the kinds of programming you get, which is so much more interesting and non-commercial. And, of course, it has to be funded with large grants and private people sending in money. Pretty soon in May, I'm going to have a potluck supper at my home for the disc jockeys here at Kazoo in a few weeks from now. And then later I'll have a potluck supper and have people who've given to the station. Some of you I've never met. If you contributed, it's $15 a year for a student and senior. It's $25 for a basic backer and $40 for a patron of the airways. And if you've given money to the station and shown an interest in the station, I thought maybe I would have you over as a way of saying thank you and then discuss some of the work with you. And you can see the research and the books and files and put your fingers into some of those files. As long as you put them back where you saw them, you're welcome to look at them to see my sources of information. That way you can give money, or if you have given money to the station, and if you subscribe, we'll get together and I'll entertain at my home and get to meet some of you. And some of you know each other, and we'll have a couple of parties. I think the cold weather will go away soon, and we'll have some nice spring weather.